bless up yourself, Yard Rhythm. Yes, I'm feeling it too.
When a man love a woman and a woman love a man, a judge a blessing.
And started, but too much call for the pull up in the shout box, and fingers crossed at the same time I can say hello. Etana, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Greetings, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed, giving thanks for life.
Well, very many thanks for you joining us here at Reggae Space. You're a very welcome guest.
Thank you very much.
Okay, just to let people know, yes, you're live on Reggae Space right now, reggaespace.com, online radio, in conversation with the great Etana. I just started rinsing out, one of your biggest tunes, I don't know if you'd agree, but it's the combination with Alborosi, Blessings. Would you agree?
I agree.
Yes.
It's one of the big ones.
Yes, this one will always get a pull up wherever you play it. You see what I'm saying?
Mad.
Yes, pick up yourself, Anna Hessa. I see you love this tune. I like many, many others. Etana, obviously with this track, you're working with Alborosi, originally out of Italy and a European country. And right now we find you where? In Portugal?
Right.
Yeah, so you're developing, or you seem to have a pretty strong connection with Europe as a whole. Would you say so?
I know so.
Yeah?
Yep.
You're working with a lot of people in terms of producers in Europe?
No, I do most and if not all my recordings in Jamaica. I've done maybe one recording in Europe, and that was Wifey, and I recorded Augustone, and maybe one more song in the UK.
Okay.
And that was it. Most of the other songs are done in Jamaica.
Okay, okay. So is that just coincidence, or is it a preference that you get a better vibe or a better quality output if you record in Jamaica, or what?
Well, when it comes to working with Abba Rosie, I don't think it's a matter of where we are. We could be in Jerusalem.
Yes, yes.
You know, he's just a very talented person. He plays every instrument and mix and masters his own music. However, like when it comes to the overall recording,
yeah,
it's where the vibe is at mostly, and where I find it comfortable working with my people that I'm familiar with.
Yes,
in Jamaica.
Okay, okay. So I mean, I do notice a lot of artists. I don't know if they struggle in Jamaica, but certain circumstances don't lend well to upcoming artists. So some of them, you find them going to America and Europe and starting their career from there. You know, there is I don't know if you would agree, but there is quite a large market, the European market, in terms of reggae music. Would you say?
I'd say so. I mean, Europeans have so much deep love and passion for the music. They know, like, the whole history of reggae music. They know artists that people don't know in Jamaica,
right,
across the world. And when they produce or when they play music, you don't have to worry about coming up with a budget to get your music played, or you don't have to worry about coming up with a big budget to record a song either.
Right.
Yeah, when you work with Europeans, basically the songs are just done, and they do it with only love, most of them, you know.
Right.
And so you find that the music comes across in a different way.
I see. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're drawing a contrast between Europe and Jamaica.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. I mean, in Jamaica you still have youths growing up right now who don't know nothing about the history of the music. Yeah. They don't know any even when I just started, to be honest, I didn't know a lot of the older artists, and I would go to Europe and see these big headlines, and I would ask, you know, who is that? And people would turn around and look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
So how could you not know, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I kind of made it my business to check out the people who are headliners and stuff like that. And in Jamaica, I've seen, like, I'll tell you, one of the major artists, I think it was Toots.
Right.
Who came to Jamaica to do a show off his tour. And he was there on the stage for like a while. And I remember after a while, people just kind of sat down,
yes,
on the ground. I was like looking at him. I mean, I say, these people have no appreciation.
That's right.
For those before, or those that have, you know, that is still carrying Jamaica all over the world. And when these people travel and go out to Europe and other countries, they have thousands of people just,
yes,
constantly jumping all day.
Yes.
And they are not black or Jamaican people.
That's right. Yes. It's strange. It's strange how the younger generation seem to be, even though they live in the same communities, they don't seem to have the appreciation for the founding fathers, like we like to say. You know, foundation music. Some of them, the music that has led to the music that they're grooving to today.
Well, to me, I think a lot of Jamaican, inside of Jamaica, I can't say for the rest of the world. And let me just put it this way too as well. For a lot of upcoming artists, it may be different, but there was some kind of connection between me and Jamaica and the Jamaican people. And so you find that the appreciation for me and my music is completely wide. I don't know what it is. A lot of people will ask, so what is it that, you know, makes people gravitate to you in Jamaica? I don't know.
Right.
Honestly, I think it's just straight up just being
authentic,
natural, honest,
authentic,
and, you know, have nothing in me but love for the people, and that's it. You know, there's nothing else.
Right.
And so maybe I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think majority of Jamaicans in Jamaica are looking more to hip hop.
Yeah.
Then and if it's not dancehall, like rah dancehall or something with some kind of gimmicks or joking, it they don't take it too serious, you know.
I see.
They have only certain people, handful of people that they really take seriously when they hear a song from them.
Yes.
And even so, you still have to have like a group of people working directly with you in order to keep that going.
Yes.
So it's just understanding the business of reggae in Jamaica. It's totally different from the rest of the world.
I see.
Like, there's a big gap in the way business is done in Jamaica and where reggae music business is done outside.
Yes. Well, a number of the points that you've made just there are echoed in some past interviewees, including Lloyd Stanbury. I don't know if you know, he's a attorney at law and specializes with the music industry, both in Jamaica and around the world. But he's echoing that the fact that a lot of the people in the music business in Jamaica look at it more as a hustle rather than a business, and maybe that is a contrast with people outside of Jamaica who maybe have a different attitude. I don't know if that's what you observe yourself.
It's a hustle. I mean, even okay, in Jamaica it may be a 100% hustle. It used to be when I first came in, people still had a little love left,
right,
but right now there isn't much love, there is none basically.
Oh.
Just a real hustle.
Yes.
However, when for example in Europe, it's not even business, it's just love for the music, that's it.
Right.
So it's not a hustle, and for them, you recording a song is not even 100% business. It may be a percentage of it, but the major percent is because they really just love the music, that's it.
Yes. And from that is the inspiration, the output is going to reflect that and be of a certain quality and a certain realness, a certain authenticity. Is that a word I can use?
Exactly.
Right, okay. Well, that's great. A nice little introduction to yourself. But just want to highlight the fact that within the next 24 hours, I would guess, you'll be flying to UK. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and you got a couple of gigs over the weekend as part of the Culture Fest.
I mean, it's part of the tour that I'm in now until August.
Okay, right. Well, the two shows that I've seen flyers for in this country that feature your name have Culture Fest at the top. Well, that's quite understandable. The local promoter would make that clear. But you've been on tour for a long while now, I believe. Is that right?
On and off, but the second part starts only today.
Oh.
The second part of it starts today. Into July.
Yes.
And again in August.
Right. It does. From just looking at a little bit about you on your webpage and so forth, you seem to be a busy person. It doesn't seem like you really take time to rest. You know, you're touring a lot and you're dropping these big tunes all the while. You know, it seems like the work of a superwoman.
It's so funny. I think I've heard that before. But yeah. I wouldn't say I do find time to rest, even when I'm on the road. Like when I'm here now in Portugal, I came in last night.
Yeah.
I'm resting all day.
Okay.
You know, until the show, 11 o'clock tonight. So.
All right.
I'm not around like shopping and doing a whole heap of crazy stuff. I do just relax. I'm a very simple, homey type of person, you know?
Okay, cool. Well, with regard particularly to the events in the UK coming up, I mean, we do have people in Europe listening, and if they're in driving distance of Portugal, I expect they will be able to, you know, make the journey and catch you live in Portugal. I guess, you know, in your shows you do a blend of some of the old tunes, but your old tunes aren't that old, you know?
Yeah, that's true, because I've only been in reggae from 2006, right?
Right.
But I do a mixture of songs from the first album and songs from the second album. And also I do sometimes drop in a few songs from, you know, those before me that has been in reggae for a long time.
Okay. Any examples you can highlight?
Sometimes I may pull, not all the time, but sometimes I may pull songs from Jimmy Cliff, Marcia Griffiths, even Buju or Garnet Silk, somebody, but you know, anybody before me.
Okay, that's cool, that's cool. Well, I wanted to just play one a track, you know. This is a radio station after all, and they come to listen to music as well as to listen to an interesting conversation. But I believe this one may be performed over the weekend or is in your set, the track entitled Reggae.
Yeah, man, love that one.
So this one is quite a new one for you, is it?
It's off of the third album, which was recorded this year.
Okay.
In Tough Gong in Jamaica.
Right.
And this song, I just had to get in a different mode, a different mindset, you know, as if it's just me and reggae music alone holding a reasoning.
Okay. And yeah, you say third album because that one is due rather than is available, is it?
Right. It's not available yet until February of next year. February. It's finished already.
What
but
is this?
Still have to go through the legalities.
Oh, okay, okay, fair enough. Okay, so this is a single off the forthcoming album, the third album. You got a title for the album yet?
Better Tomorrow. That's the second single.
Okay.
I named it off of the second single to be released.
Okay, okay. Well, let's hear this track. It's off the forthcoming album. It's entitled Reggae.
No, third.
Forthcoming. Is that the third album? Not the fourth album.
Oh.
The forthcoming album.
Oh, the third forthcoming album. Okay.
Okay, yes. And features the voice of Etana.
Never seen you rock so. Now it's time to play. You move me like the wind blows. As night becomes a day, I know you want to go slow. Where I don't know, but rocking is the true road. Hear me when I say,
just like reggae.
Hit me like a drum,
reggae.
Play chords and I will strum.
Well, Etana, that sounds very much to me like a love song to reggae.
Yes, it is.
Oh boy! So, just tell me a little bit about that. What, why you feel the need to express yourself, express that that love?
Because you know, a lot of people come up with this talk about reggae music, the real authentic reggae music seems to be fading, and how people don't love the music anymore.
Yeah.
And yes, a lot of people don't really love it, especially some producers or new producers don't really appreciate the music. But as you travel out of Jamaica to the rest of the world, I guarantee you'll say something different.
Yeah.
So I have to let the world know that, you know, my love for reggae music is still there.
Yes, that's cool, that's cool. But we do get the perception that there is a bit of turmoil in the reggae music industry, particularly in Jamaica and the Caribbean. There seems to be conflict between the newer styles that have branched off of reggae, like dancehall, and the main thrust of reggae, you know, that dates back to Bob Marley and Toots and before. Do you perceive that as well?
Well, I agree the music has to change, you know, with the time and with the people. Even when Bob Marley was doing reggae, you had the rock steady era,
yeah,
you had scat era,
yeah,
and you had real, real hardcore reggae era. You know, he went through all of that.
Yes.
And so, and that goes with the time, you know. So, I think over the time it has to change. However, I just don't feel like, I feel dancehall is dancehall and reggae is reggae.
Right.
And also I feel like reggae songs, though it may have a fusion of other genres, like even some may say a little bit of jazz or a little bit of rap, you know?
Yeah.
It still has the true hardcore drum and bass, though.
Yes, that's right. That's what right. defines it as reggae.
Right. So then the songs that kind of sound more like hip hop to me, that is just hip hop or just a dancehall, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
But it's
yes.
not reggae. Reggae is reggae.
Yes. That's
so I
right.
think it's the people who are confused, you know?
Yes, yes.
I don't think the music can ever be confused. The music just is, you know?
Yes, perhaps, you know, people should consider this dancehall genre, like jungle in the UK. You know, something that sprang out of reggae was a thing called jungle, and it had a high tempo, but it was still rooted in a similar bass line structure. But it floated off away from reggae and called itself jungle, and you know, that's fine. So maybe,
but they never called it reggae, see? That's the difference.
I see. So the difference with dancehall is because they say it's dancehall reggae.
Because it come out of Jamaica, it's reggae. It's not so.
Ah.
Dancehall is dancehall that come out of Jamaica. As well as you can have an artist on a pop track that came out of Jamaica, but it's still a pop track. It's not a reggae track.
That's
reggae,
right.
Reggae.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, it's very interesting. Very interesting. And in this year, the celebration of 50 years of Jamaica, are you doing anything particularly for the event around August yourself?
No, you know, we had arrangements for a show, but right in the middle of the arrangements, I had to, you know, fire the manager who I had at the time.
Oh.
Even though politics and everything.
Oh, damn.
Kind of destroyed that. That's right.
Oh, dear. That's quite, for an artist, that is must have been quite a momentous time. You know?
It was all right. You know what I mean? To me, you know, music is music and it goes on forever as long as you live and even after you live.
Yes.
So there'll be many other times for me to be in and around London. The music will continue to grow and be all over the place. So I don't think, sometimes when things don't work out, for me, I never worry, you know? I just kind of let it go with the time.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's always opportunity to do a whole heap of other things in other times.
Right, right. And of course, if you're doing something so much of your time, you want to be happy while you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't worry about anything, you know? I just make it, take it course.
Okay, just to ask a question that was asked of me, and I promised to ask the question. But Etana, the name, it's quite an unusual name, and it's not your birth name, Shauna.
Yeah.
So where does Etana come from, and does it have a particular meaning, or is it something that was made up, or how's it go?
I went through a list of names, and I saw all kind of names. Believe me.
Yeah.
And I thought Etana rhymed with Shauna, you know.
Okay.
And so I figured, okay, let me look up, you know, see what I can find. And I saw all kind of stuff, but one of the things that caught my eye was someone gave a definition of Etana to be the strong one, and they said it was from Swahili.
Okay.
However, as I go along, I took on Etana, the strong one, and, you know, kind of made it the definition of me.
Right.
That strong, determined, passionate individual.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what it's about, really.
I see. So it reflects your understanding of yourself, you know.
Exactly.
And strong in many ways. I mean, I know, just listening to you on one level, you have a very strong voice, you know. And I wonder, you know, how many calories you're burning up while you're singing there. And
boy, I hope not. I guess I need to keep singing all day.
Well, I was thinking that if you stop singing, would you suddenly start putting on weight?
I put on weight regardless.
Okay.
Regardless, trust me.
Okay.
But
so
if singing means burning calories, I'd be singing all day,
yes,
all night.
Yes, well, it does look like, you know, you do put a lot of effort, you know. Yes, from a viewer's point of view, I see energy, you know, and energy don't come from nothing. You must, you know, you tell me, is it the case that sometimes you come off after a long show and you feel tired or exhausted? Or
no, you feel energized. Like when you go in the gym and you work out for a couple of hours and then you come out and you're like, you know, pumped and ready to go for the day and you can't stop sweating.
I see. Yeah. So it's a similar thing, you know, and to get that from a gym, you have to push iron.
Right. So you have to put spiritual energy and push that. So you're kind of on a spiritual high and a musical high.
I see.
Same thing.
Okay.
Almost.
So, that's great. That puts it into context for me. I understand what's going on now. But thank you for that. And I still want to play a couple of tunes. You know, I could talk to you for hours and hours, but I want to play some of the tunes that you have on the street and available. Some of these tunes they can download, I guess, and purchase on iTunes and such, yes?
If not all, yes.
Yes, I'm going to play Wifey. Is that one?
That's one.
Okay. And another one that's a powerful message in the tune, and I want to talk about it as we play it.
Ring on my finger, baby. My sexy baby. My love. So sweet, so kind. My sexy sweet chocolate. I'm glad you're mine. I wouldn't change this for anything or anyone in this world. My sacred love, I'd say I do. Over and over again. Give me the rhythm, let me love up the bass. Let me rub it up in a bad mind, people fear.
Oh boy, what a tune. What a lyric. Oh man. Big up yourself, Etana. Large up yourself. And big up Yard Rhythm Promoter. And big up Andrea Louise. Jack is entitled Wifey.
My sexy baby.
Features the fantastic voice of Etana.
So sweet, so kind. My sexy sweet chocolate, I'm glad you're mine. I wouldn't change this for anything or anyone in this world. My sacred love, I'd say I do. Over and over again. Give me the rhythm, let me love up the bass. Let me rub it up in a bad mind, people face. Me not stress, come on my nostril. And every morning we wake, we are face to face. He's loving me, I could have never complained. Forever I will be giving him the best of me. I'm proudly your wifey, wearing your last name. I'm proudly your wifey, wearing your ring. So sweet, so kind. My sexy sweet chocolate, I'm glad you're mine. I wouldn't change this for anything. When love, I'd say I do. Over and over again.
Oh, what a lovely tune. I wonder if it's inspired by real life experience, Tana.
Of course.
Yes, man. Anybody that is observant will observe through your Facebook pages that what once was Mackenzie is now Morris. Yes. And this is literally a song to your intended at the time, maybe, or your spouse now. How it go?
I wrote it in Vienna, Italy. Okay. Vienna, sorry. Marseille. Sorry, I mixed it up. I wrote it in Marseille, France.
Okay.
And I recorded it there too. And I remember when I was given the track, I couldn't think of anything. And then I saw him walk through the door and I just wrote the song.
Wow. And sometimes they come to you quick like that.
It came to me in like 10 minutes. It was over.
But you had a little bit of struggle to get going.
Yeah, in the beginning, because, you know, traveling, touring, a lot of things, you're really not thinking about, okay, writing a song. Most songs that come to you while you're touring has to be from inspiration, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I do wonder how you manage, because as I said, you spend a lot of time on the road, and it seems like in between you have the inspiration and the circumstance to be able to record a track here or record a voice there and so forth. You manage to do that without trouble?
Yes, for the most part. Only, like I said, when I'm traveling, most songs, any song that I write while traveling is by inspiration. Believe me, I can't like sit there and say, oh, what am I going to write on this track today, and try to come up with something. It will never work.
Right. We have a couple of questions that come through the shout box here. One of our DJs, just down the road from me, actually, in the Midlands of the UK, is saying, what does she say in the line, my sexy sweet...
Chocolate.
Yes, I could hear chocolate quite clearly. I don't know what's wrong with it. Okay, and there's some disappointment, I have to say. I have to inform you that Selecta Rose Breadfruit says, oh no, she's married.
Yeah, I mean, I'm married to a chocolate skin.
Yeah.
Tall, handsome fella.
And I have to say, this guy, he must have a head the size of a wall right now, because from he have a tune like that that's really inspired by him, he must really be a little bit swell-headed, and that would be understandable.
No, he doesn't like that stuff. He doesn't even like me talking about it.
Oh, right, okay.
He's so, like, why, you know, he's kind of, I mean, he may appreciate it, yes, but he doesn't really like, you know, for me to sit and discuss too long about him and us and all that stuff. I don't know. I have to ask him why, now that I think about it.
Okay, well, I'll let you do that at some point in the near future. But your relationship is quite close, because you're working together as well as being together as well, is it?
Yeah, we do. It's one way to, I guess, you know, spend more time with each other. Yeah. And not only that, it's good to have somebody that you could totally trust.
Yes.
You know, with all your business and everything that you do. And so he's not the only person. He's not the whole team. Obviously, there are, you know, other people.
Yeah.
Keona Williams, Heavy D, just a couple people in Jamaica, New York, and around that are a part of the team that helps to make things happen.
Yes.
But as far as all the business side of it, he's in everything when it comes to the business and handling, you know, finances and all of these things. He's also an accountant, so and it worked well.
And it must take a lot of stress and worry and thought
off
your shoulders, you know, and give makes you free to create, and after all, that is what you're good at.
I mean, yes, he has to deal with, put it this way, it's kind of difficult for him, and I'm not saying that it could be ever easy. He has to work with the artist, Etana,
yeah,
and he also has to work with the wife, Shauna, you know?
Right.
So it's almost like two different people, because when I'm on the road and I'm working and I'm meeting my fans and working with my people on the road,
yes,
it's just all about my shows and what I give into the shows and, you know, meeting my fans and signing autographs and doing those things, you know? So it has to be difficult, and then he has to deal with promoters and kind of things, and then when it's, you know, different business, he also has to deal with that too. So
yeah but yeah. It seems to be a successful partnership from what I can see. I mean, you know, the Etana name, the Etana brand is huge, isn't it?
Thank you. We work hard, you know. I mean, I never take anything for granted. Everything is taken seriously, even the smallest things, you know, which sometimes are the most important ones. So it's all about hard work and, you know, dedication.
Right. Well, before I run the next cue, and I'm going to open up another little area of discussion, because you started out, you know, some years back as in a group, I believe, and it's been a transition between that time and now when you're a solo artist. What was the trigger to make you feel that you could go solo?
Actually, I never wanted to go so solo. I wanted to just do business, you know, open up an internet cafe, hire some people, and, you know, just do work, you know, business side.
Okay.
Not music. It wasn't until I got to Fifth Element, and for all of 2005, being a backup singer for Richie Spice, and, you know, the management there kept, you know, digging in my back, to write a song, write a song. And that's when I actually did the song. You know, I mean, that's how it worked. That's how I actually stepped out. Not saying that I wanted to, because it was one of the hardest things to leave Richie Spice on the stage, and I'm not there, and he's singing like all my favorite songs, and energy is high.
Yeah.
And I'm not there to help him carry that energy. It was one of the hardest moments for me.
Okay. So it was a serious thing to consider whether or not to remain a backing singer, essentially, and to pursue a business career in whatever, because the skills in business can be applied to a number of different types of business. And had you started your internet cafe, you probably have a string of them now, and some other,
right?
Some other interest as well. So it must have been a big decision for you to consider to drop all that, you know, what you might have perceived as being a possible comfortable future, to something that is more difficult. It's very competitive. But you must have had some faith in your own talent to make that decision. Is that right?
I had faith in my own talent, but more I had faith in the people around me.
Okay.
At Fifth Element, right? Claude Sears, who just finished all his, because he was in 2007. They had a big old, I wouldn't say, I just break it down to them being arrested in 2007 and extradited Claude Sears from Jamaica to the US.
Oh.
And yeah, which he had to do like a 3-year or 4-year term.
Right.
And so I think what made me kick in the business side of it is when I realized that they were actually gone and I was left alone to carry this. And I already started and I couldn't drop it.
Right.
So all my business skills had to kick in then, you know, to make it happen and to take it this far.
Right. So as a result of all that, and some time passed, you found yourself front and center stage yourself.
That's right.
And how did that feel the first time, you know, you being the main name compared to earlier, you know, the transition towards that? How did it feel when it finally happened? There's you with the mic in your hand, people in front of you, and the band behind you.
It was incredible. I've cried on stage. I've had goosebumps. I've had to swallow real hard on stage at the same time, not to break down. I remember one time I was on the stage and a girl walked up to me after the show finished, I should say, "Itana, something isn't right. I mean, inside your eyes, you're singing, but inside your eyes, you look like you wanted to cry at one point." And I said, "Girl, you wouldn't even understand."
Wow. So it's quite an emotional feeling to be on the stage, you know, especially when you're a little bit inexperienced, and it really really affected you.
Yep. I mean, a lot of times I miss seeing, you know, the group at least 5 or 10 or maybe even 15 sometime.
Yeah.
15 men in them, you know, red, gold and green, and them khaki and camouflage, and you know, the whole team behind me, and just knowing that, you know.
Yeah.
All of these people, when you bust a tune and you see everybody singing the song and you know where it started and you know where you have to go and you know what you have to do, sometimes it becomes overwhelming and then you might have to just crack a tear. But me, I try my best to hold it back, not to cry, because if I start crying, then I don't know when I'm going to stop, you know.
Okay.
So I kind of hold it back.
Okay. Well, it looks like you're doing a grand job, because people love you any way you perform. They can... they can identify and feel the authenticity, the realness, or whatever term. But thank you for that. But I want to just quickly revert to our shout box. We're getting a few questions come through, and maybe a quick answer might be something we can do here. Big welcome to Red Lion. He's one of our DJs out of London. He's asking, what does Itana feel about the way reggae reggae music is now. There's another one here asking about the Righteous Youth's rhythm and how that came about, how you managed to be on that one. And there's a question here about was there a lyrical content issue when singing background with Richie Spice? I don't know what's at the bottom of that one. Maybe you do. But one more here. No, that's not a question. It's more of a comment. Okay, so there's a couple of things that are of interest to some of the listeners here. I don't know if you can touch on any of that.
You went through like four of them.
Okay.
How did I get on the Righteous Youth rhythm? Fifth Element, just the same. Someone brought it to me and said they were doing the track and they wanted me to write a song on it. That was my first song that I actually... No, second song after Wrong Address that I recorded. No, let me get it straight. Okay. Righteous Youth was the first song that I wrote and recorded.
Okay.
Just sitting around, actually, at Fifth Element. That Righteous Youth one, and then I did Wrong Address, and they took Wrong Address first.
I see.
I think it was really interesting though, because you know, my first solo song. What do I feel about reggae music? How it's going now?
Yeah.
Like I said, the rest of the world, the reggae music is so different. Yes, we've had some controversy where artists had some problems or issues with the whole gay idea and, you know, the gay arena.
Yes.
Yeah, and they had problems with visas and all of these things.
Yes.
But most importantly to me, I think, like I was telling you before, is the confusion with reggae music, dancehall artists, and a Jamaican artist
yeah.
on a pop track is totally different, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so it's going how it's going because of the people who are actually either paying attention to the wrong things or confused about what is reggae,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
And then, again, they have to remember the politics, too, that is in Jamaica. And then the rest of the world, totally different.
Yes, yes, yes. Because to a certain degree, when it comes to what people gravitate to, like, it can only be something that they've heard. And therefore, there's some responsibility or some influence that is held by the radio stations and the media who decide what to play, whether it's a Turner track or a better not name any particular name, a dancer.
I get what you're saying.
Yes, so there's a certain amount of people gravitate to what they hear, and if they don't hear certain things, they can't gravitate to it. You see me?
Well, I always say this, you know, Jamaica claims, or Jamaican government claims, that they don't want negativity or dancehall track with murder and killing and, you know,
yes.
Maybe expletives in it. However, if I feel like they know the power of music, they know how it influenced the people, they know that Jamaicans are mostly aggressive people, and they know that throughout the garrison in Jamaica, which you have enough small garrison all over.
Yes.
And they know the importance of the music when it comes to the war in Jamaica as well. Mm. They get grants from other countries for, you know, youth clubs, the security of the people, all of these things that, you know, people from France, Germany, all over donate, you know, for yes. different programs. Now, if they actually have just pure positive music on the radio, not to say pure culture music, because it could be love songs too, or it could be a you know, any kind of music, but yes. just not kill him or cut off him head or whatever yes. the case may be.
Yes.
If they have just pure music without that and without, you know, certain things on the radio, then the influence on the people might be a little different.
That's right.
And so then the people will react differently, and then they may lose some of those grants if the people become too peaceful.
Yes.
So also have to consider not only the DJs who are getting paid to play these songs.
Right.
But you also have to consider why the government, with the power that they have, why are they not using them power more to actually have more positive music on the radio?
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's actually deeper than what you see and know, you know?
Yes, of course. You know, it's not the first time that someone has looked to the government and said, you know, you are partly to blame for this situation. And, even if it was down to, well, my example would be the UK. You know, they have laws about obscenity and they have censorship boards, you know, and they draw a line and say this is okay and that isn't. And I don't know if there is such a system in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, where, you know, it's a clear line that this is 18 above, you have to be adult, and this, you know, is for the family. Because if there was a clear line, it would seem to me would make it easier to distinguish between acceptable music to be played on prime time radio and television, and those that should be left till after 11, 12 o'clock, when the children should be asleep.
Well, I think there's a reason it's disorganized, and I think that there's a reason for their chaos.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's a battle that one artist or two artists cannot fight, you know. I think you just have to find your way to make work, because the people who have the power to actually make these changes are much more powerful than one or two artists, you know. So then even if a group of artists say okay, because they have the genre, and if a group of artists say okay, that's it, you know, we're not gonna, you know, work with the radio stations, we're not gonna, you know, work with the government in anything that they do, we're going to actually stand our ground and, you know, deal with this on a different level. Right. Then you'll have some other artists who say, okay, then you not do it, but me have to do it because me have to find my way.
Right. And
so then you have this, you know, they have no unity. Yeah. And like I said, there's a reason for them chaos. So to me, I know what I know, so I just do what I have to do.
Right. Well, you mentioned people that might be interested in going alone, as it were, you know, and we do have the internet now. Would you say that that's a tool that is enabling the people to be more independent, the artists to be more independent, or what would you say?
Very important tool, because a lot of people are fed up. You have listeners who are fed up with the radio, and the radio and the way that the music is being played and what they're trying to do to influence the people.
Yeah.
So you have people who actually just tune into internet radio or tune into them own iPod with their music on it, you know?
So
to me, it's a big, it's a major, it's important, it's an important tool.
Yes. Okay. There's been a lot of comments coming through the shout box, but at the same time, I really want to let off a few tunes to make people hear it. And this particular one, it has the word strong in the title. This is a recurring word when we discuss Etana, with a strong voice, and it seems to me a strong personality. How much strength did you have to draw on, you know, to be able to get to where you are in what would seem a male-dominated industry?
Just have to be very, very focused, very aggressive, serious. I mean, a smile. When there's something to smile about, I laugh mostly when I'm on stage.
Yes.
I have to deal with the business side of it. I'm a very serious person. That's why I said, like, my other half have to deal with the business side, the Etana.
Yes.
He has to deal with that more business person who is very serious. I don't laugh, and I want what I want, and I mean what I say when I say it, kind of thing, you know? So
to a degree, the strong one as a title is almost a warning.
No, it's a serious, serious name. It's not even a joke.
Well, it's like to say that if you're going to deal with Etana, you have to really be on your game, and she don't take messing and don't take talking, and, you know, she's focused and determined.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well said.
and that seems to me to be a useful attribute, particularly for females in the industry. Would you say?
Of course. I mean, if when I first started, I remember going into the rehearsal room, and every minute it was some kind of joke with a musician, them are cracking and a laugh in the middle of my rehearsal, and I had to say to them, yo, so if a man was in here, uno wouldn't have skin in the teeth because in the middle of the rehearsal before, uno wasn't laughing. Yeah. So I'm saying, what's the joke? What's so funny?
Oh,
wow. And I said, how could you be discussing other things in the middle of my rehearsal when you should be focused on the music? Either you're going to do the show or you're not going to do the show, and I'll just fire the man and get somebody else.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I think ever since that day, it went out that I had an attitude, and yeah, I think it was the main thing, that I had an attitude. So I had to make it known, like, okay, once you get in the rehearsal room to do music or to work, once you get in the studio, I'm not saying that you can't laugh, but be careful what you do, not to waste my time, and be serious about what you're doing.
Okay.
Because it's a serious thing.
Yes, yes. So,
so
I'm thinking that it would have served you well to get let that impression go out into the industry, because it saves you a lot of time in the long run. Maybe it damages,
exactly.
You know, it gives you a perception of being, you know, short and impatient. But you can deal with that, you know, as time goes on. But it, you know, it shows that you're a serious person, and if you're going to be dealing with Etana, it's got to be, you know, on the game all the time. Yes,
all the time, on your toes. You know why? When people go to work, right, they work really hard. Some of them can't be no more than 5 minutes late.
Yes.
To clock in and do their work, right? And when they get the hard-earned money from work, they have to pay bills, they have kids to take care of. And when they take that $10 or $15 and buy your album, it means a lot for them to actually do that, because for them to make that $15 take a lot of work and stress from boss and all kind of things.
Yeah.
Working when they don't want to. So why should we treat it any different when we're in the studio? We have to take them serious, because these are the people who pay your bills. So what they pay for is what they should get.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I like that work ethic, and more power to you. And I'm not surprised that the word strong follows you around. It seems to be your a label on your sleeve there, saying the strong one. So don't mess.
That's right. Don't play with it.
Okay. Well, let's hear the track. This is another one that's on the forthcoming album, I Am Strong.
No, this one won't be on the album as far as I know.
Okay.
This was one of the songs released because I was doing the album. I wanted to have, you know, people listening to something while I was preparing the album.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, it opens another area of discussion about, you know, the fact that you have this album ready and put down one side, and, you know, it's like in the bank, you know. It's
in the bank.
Yes, that's right. Because the first two have been, you know, there was an issue. You had a big tune to start with, and everybody thought that maybe this is a one-hit wonder. But you seem to have scotched that perception, and now established yourself as a queen in the reggae music industry. Would you say that's the case?
Scratched out a one-hit wonder, gone. I mean, you know, I do respect the fact that Marcia Griffiths is still around, and I do consider her to be the queen of reggae music.
Right.
And also before me is Queen Afrika.
Yes.
You know, who has been in the music for over 10, 15 years. While I've been here for only a 5. Not to say that I couldn't automatically become a queen, but I'd rather just go and suck up for the princess and go and do some good music, you know.
Oh, bless you, Etana, bless you. Alright, let's play the tune, I Am Strong.
No matter what you do, you can't please them. No, no. I hypocrite them, but them can't hear me. They say I got an attitude, and I talk real rude. They don't like the way I do. And when I come around, I see right through them hypocritical
signs.
But I'm strong, strong, strong. And I'm gonna be around. Yeah, I'm strong, strong, strong. And I'm gonna be around. Hey. I say, I hypocrite them, but them can't hear me. No, no, no. No matter what them chat, me not trust them, no. And anyway, me see them, me no fear them, no, no. And them dirty ways, I got you up them. Cause I'm strong, strong, strong. And I'm gonna be around. Yes, I'm strong, strong, strong. And I'm gonna be around.
Had to let that play at least a little while to hear that, because I do enjoy listening to that track, Eterna. I am strong. I got to big up some people who are expressing a similar view about that song in our shout box here. Andrea Louise, Boom and Bang, Mama J, Goody out of Germany. Big up Selector Roast Breadfruit, Anna Hesse, big up Yard Rhythm. It goes on and on. And I have a few questions that are coming through the chat box, and I'll try and quickly refer to those as we're going on. But first, I wanted to ask you about this particular track is an example. How you know, you don't mince your words when it comes to singing tunes. You know, you don't skirt around the bushes and the houses when you want to make a point. Is that intentional, or is that the only way you know how?
Yeah, I think it's just best to be real in the music. You know, the more you skirt around and try to come up with different rhymes and lines and ways to say things, I just feel like not everybody catch on, you know?
Right.
Kind of. Not everybody understand what you're saying if you're not straight. So I'd just rather be straightforward.
Okay, okay. And so you're mindful of the wider, I suppose, global market. You know, not everybody will understand patois. Not everybody will understand the little phrases that come with patois and Jamaican culture in the wider world. Is that something that's in your mind sometimes?
Always, because I have people from all over the world who listen to my music. You know, people, I mean, if I go through some of the fans, especially people who listen to my SoundCloud page, the songs on the SoundCloud page, I have people from Israel, from different places in Africa, from Australia, from all over the world. So, and they're not from Jamaica. So, you know, I have to be mindful of them as well.
Yes, yes. And the people are making a comment that they admire your lyrics for it being so original, you know. And it must be difficult and getting increasingly difficult to write original songs without being too corny and without being too boring, you know. But would you say you take to the writing side of things, the creation of the words, you know, the wordsmithing, you take to that quite easily, or is it an effort for you sometimes?
If it comes to me, if I have to think too much about what I'm writing, I automatically stop writing, you know, because I think that once you have to think too much, then it's not truly, truly from somewhere inside that is untouchable.
Yes.
You know, most of my songs and lyrics come from somewhere where I don't even understand at times. They just come. Yeah. And they come to me in the weirdest ways and times, you know, so... Yeah. If I have to think and say, oh, I don't like that line, or what am I going to put there, then I just stop.
Right. So, but I do hear artists talking about, you know, it just coming through. And a lot of people, a lot of the Rasta artists that I've spoken to say, you know, it comes from the Almighty. You know, it's through Jah that he gets the inspiration to create the song, because it's not a conscious effort on his behalf, you know, the artist himself. Is it a similar thing that you're talking about with yourself?
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes I always say, sometimes it's like that little voice. I always refer to it as that little voice that speaks to you, that nobody else can hear but you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's almost like you hear the melody and then the words come from that little voice.
Okay.
So, I do think that you have to have some kind of spiritual connection, or some kind of free, like a free mind, like a free open spirit.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
To actually hear or feel those things. You can't just yet, and you do have writers who write talented pop songs who actually sit and think about every line.
Yes.
And write for 2-3 days before they can come up with one pop song, you know.
Yes.
So it's just for each, you know, to each his own, and everybody do them thing differently. And I think just for me that I write solely off of inspiration.
Yes. Okay, that's great. I'm conscious there's a lot of people who want to say a few words here. Selector Rose Breadfruit. She has a lot of personality and easygoing interviews in just the flow. Father Yendis, that's me, kind of. Tell her she's a great guest. She's the strong one. This is Selector Rose Breadfruit. Mama J, and you have to bear in mind that we have listeners from all over the world. There's Mama J, who's in Holland, and it may not come across too well in translation, but she said she's a real strong one, and make she sing a bit for us.
Mad. So, I love Holland. I love performing. I remember my last couple of performances there. It was crazy. I mean, fire in the building. London, yeah. Holland is just, you know, sweet. It's a nice place to perform. Nice place to be.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're a feel in singing voice, but feel free to just burst into some tune if you feel like it.
Never let them get you down. Never let them see you frown. Never let them lead you astray. Starting today, live your life your way. I say, yeah.
Excellent stuff. I'm very grateful for you to do that. There's a few more comments. Selector Rose Breadfruit asking for the said same thing, a little bit of a cappella. Time and time again, I have to say. So they should all be satisfied now. I'm going to draw for one more tune. And I guess, again, this one is one of the new ones and one of the ones that you would be performing in your sets right about now. I've seen your page, and you're looking very attractive in your yellow dress. The
Thank
track entitled Beautiful Day. The end is in conversation with Etana live here on Reggae Space. Big respects to all listeners, whether you be here on the base, out in Facebook land, or on your handheld.
Oh, what a lovely day. The sun is shining, people smiling, and oh, what a lovely day. It should feel like this every day. We could share this moment. Take some time, slowly take it in. Stop and smell the daisies, the roses. Listen to the melodies of the singing birds. Oh, what a lovely day. The sun is shining, people smile. Should feel like this every day. I wish upon a star tonight. Pray tomorrow be just as bright. 'Cause there's so much joy in the air. Happy faces everywhere. And oh, such a lovely day. The sun is shining, people smiling, and oh, what a lovely day. It should feel like this every day. Oh,
there's so much love being expressed for the music here on Reggae Space. Via our shout box, Anna Hesse, Selector Rose Breadfruit says he loves you. Mama J. Mama J is burning. Lioness of Judah is burning fire. And,
fire.
And, Andrea Louise is dancing in the shout box. It goes on and on. To me now, Etana is in a very special position. You know, you seem to me to be in full control of your own destiny. You know, full control of your music career, and happy doing that. I wonder how you perceive yourself in a few years' time. Where you're aiming, or where do you think you will be in, say, 5 years?
I think I get what you're saying. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It seems to come and go.
It comes and go. I even from the beginning, I always wanted. Now I'm saying, if I can't feel it, then the people who are listening to the music will figure that it's not real as well, you know?
Yes.
And so I try my best to have total creative rights control, even when creating my own album. So the label understands that I'm a very creative person and I need to be in the process of making my music.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you get that... I mean, I know of a number of artists that have said, well, you know, we've had these offers from X company to sign up with them, but they wanted the creative rights and they wanted to tell us what to sing and maybe things what to wear and such. You don't look like sound like the person that will would buy up to that deal. Is that right?
Oh, well, you know what? Before a deal can become a deal, right? People have to negotiate and people have to go back and forth to get what they want. And for two people to be comfortable, you also have to agree, right?
Yeah.
So I think that you can go through the process. Even though they offered that to you, you can actually go back and forth until you get what you want. And if it so happens that you can't get what you want, then, you know, you have to keep moving. Because if somebody has to make a puppet out of you, then you cannot be real to the people who, you know, buy your music.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Now, I'm conscious that you've been with us for a little while now, and the technology is starting to fail us. So before it completely gives up, I want you to have the opportunity to big up who and who you want to big up, and to highlight any particular agenda you have, or even your links for where people can hit you up and friend you up or link you up to work and such. You see me?
All right. Well, first of all, big up to all the listeners tuned in right now. Much love to you. And big up to all my fans all over the world. And big up to you even for playing the music every day as you do. Because it's because of people like you, the life of the music continues. And Etana gets to be on the road touring and performing, you know, for everybody across the world.
Yeah.
To link me up. I'd say you can go to Twitter and look for Etana Strong One, and the one is spelled out as you know, O-N-E.
Yeah.
Facebook is One Etana for the fan page, and also Shauna McKenzie Morris, and you know, you'll find them as you go along. It's three main pages: Shauna McKenzie Morris, Shauna McKenzie, and One Etana.
Right.
For business, anybody with a business inquiry needs to email freemind, freemind.music1@gmail.com. And the album will be out in February of 2013, a new album called Better Tomorrow. And also, being on the road, yes, we're going to find a way to tweet, text, and list the places that we're going to be, and make sure you come out to the Culture Fest in London. I think it's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah.
I already know. So yes. Just make sure you come and make sure you be there.
Yes.
London is my place. I'm going to have a lot of fun. And that's it. Just live and love life. It's one of the greatest gifts ever, if not the greatest gift.
Yes.
And no matter what you're going through, a lot of people, sometimes when they're going through some hard times, they say, "Chuck, boy, I feel like just chuck off how I'm building, or drink a whole heap of liquor, or, you know, take some drugs." But at the end of the day, you'll always be able to get through it. It must pass, and you'll be able to look back at it and smile one day. So don't forget that and don't give up.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Bad experiences, good experiences, they're all experiences, and you grow from them.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I hope you do have a great show. We spoke to Tony Rebel yesterday here on Reggae Space, and from what he was saying and from what you're saying, people who have tickets and people yet to get tickets, they're in for a treat. February, you say you're going to let off the next album, Better Tomorrow, and it's already done and dusted, and you're just wasting the right time. But in the meantime, are you still working, I guess? You know, still laying down tracks here and there, yes? Right. Yes.
You there?
Yes, I'm still here. It's coming and going. We're squeezing as much as we can out of it.
Yeah, I'll always be recording, but the album itself is already finished.
Right. Okay. I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna thank you for being with us. We've thoroughly enjoyed speaking to you and hearing your music and hearing you talk. If people who are listening weren't fans before, I'm sure they'll be fans now. And that's what it's all about. Us trying to give a boost to a particular breed. A brand of reggae that is positive and uplifting, which your music seems to personify, if that's the word I can use. Yeah, so that's what we're here for, and we're very glad that you graced us with your presence and you know, supported the work, and we'll do our best to support your work in the future.
Thank you very much.